Well, let's take our book of Jonah. We're in chapter 2. Last week we went up to chapters 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. But I want to kind of review, I think, so because we didn't get too much in it. But let's read Jonah chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's get the three verses. Let me go to verse 4, too, if you want to. So we have just one verse that's new. Beginning at verse number 1 together. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and I heardest thy voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Father Jonah, I got a call from a man this week and says I'm going to preach on Jonah. Do you have anything on Jonah? I said, we're studying it in the Thursday Bible study. But I said, also our son Dan has preached sermons, all chapters of Jonah. So I went to their website and he looked at them. He said, all right. So I said, I'm sure they're very good messages. And so he's probably downloaded them so he can preach this thing to the book of Jonah. But he asked me this question. He said, Jonah was disobedient. God told him to go to Nineveh. He didn't go to Nineveh. Why did God use him? Why did he send someone else? So how would you answer that question? Yeah, Hannah, you got something there?
I have something. It's going back a few minutes.
Okay.
It's from the state of Illinois.
Okay. North or south?
North.
Okay. Ron Wendergrant from Chicago, Illinois. Go ahead.
Praise our great God for Dr. Wade's full recovery. Can you tell us about the vitamin mineral product that you take? What is the verse you preached on in recently in John's epistle about being healthy in Christ, Mr. Winograd?
Okay, well, we'll answer that last part first. It was in 3 John, I believe, the first 7 verses. And John said, I wish that thy health would prosper as thy soul prospers. The question about the soul, how prospers the soul? And if somebody's health of the body had to go in the equal with the soul, many people would be dead because the soul is no good. So that's what I was talking about, that, Rob. But the other thing, the vitamins, it's called general health supplement, something like that. And Ira, he's got a website, and you can call him up, and he'll tell you all about things. See, it was specially designed, these vitamins. I asked him today, especially. I said, how did these vitamins come? Because they're specially designed. They're, for 10 years, the people that worked on them, I remember what they called them, special kind of engineers that deal with the body and the health and the heart. They worked on it for 10 years, and special things. There are 3 bottles, 3 different bottles. I know one is it has to do with alkalizing your body because they're too acidic. The one alkalizes, the other is a lot of good vitamins. Then the other one is W3, I think, something. But then also, he hasn't got them in, but he's going to be sending them in a week or two. That is the vitamin D3, very important for health and strength, D3. So these are some of the vitamins around. I've got some literature if you want. I'd be glad to send it to you email, but let me know if you want to.
What's
do this.
His last name?
His name is Marx, M-A-R-X-E. He's a Jewish man. I told him I was a pastor, and but he was, his mother and father both had congestive heart failure, and they both died with their, all the things. It was 4 or 5 years, and they died. When he got congestive heart failure, and fluid in the legs, and you know, that's what it does, it's just fluid. And, you know, he said, I'm not going to go the medical way. My mom and dad died of it, I'm not going to do it. For the last 12 years, he's 86 now, 12 years, he said, I'm going to go to the vitamin metal, I'm going to see what it gets. So he looked these things up, he got these special things. It's the scientists that developed these minerals, and he's licensed to sell them, and he does. So he's gone that way, he's got good health, and that's his philosophy. IRA, Marx, M-A-R-X-E. You know, the way I got him, you know, as soon as I found I had CHF, congestive heart failure, went to the internet, looked up all the different things, what is that, see? And lo and behold, Ira Marx's thing was right on that internet. So I looked, well, that's interesting. So then I wanted some other things, and then I lost the thing. How did I get back? I want to see it again. See, I lost it. All of a sudden, it appeared again. And so, praise the Lord, I got it. And then I ordered those things, see? That is not going to kill me. I mean, so anyway, that was the answer there. All right, thank you, Anna, for that one. So my question was asked me, this man asked me, he said, why did God send Jonah when he didn't go? Why didn't he get someone else? Well, how would you answer that?
Picture of Christ.
Picture of Christ, all right. That's good. Anything else? Yes, Joe.
Well, God uses the foolish things of the world for his own purposes.
All right, that's good. Anyone else?
I think that in the Bible, it tries to teach us that, you know, that there's that these people don't always listen to God, but mm-hmm. that he, you know, that he forgives us and gives us a second chance.
Yes, it certainly pictures many of us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He tells us to do something, we do something else. So I just told him, I said, well, God wanted to teach Jonah a lesson. He wanted to teach us a lesson in the story of Jonah, what it took to bring this prophet back to where he ought to be. Sometimes it takes us difficulties to bring us back where we ought to be as well. So that's what I told the man. So he seemed satisfied. And I'm sure he's looked up Dan's sermons. I'm sure he's going to use them as he preaches the Word of God in those meetings. But I noticed in verse, why is the verse 1 then? Why is the then there?
What did it say before?
Remember chapter 1? What happened in chapter 1? Was it?
It says now in verse 17.
All right, now in verse 17 of chapter 1. The Lord had prepared a great fish. And what happened to Jonah in chapter 1?
He was swallowed.
Swallowed by fish. Thrown in the sea, swallowed by this great fish, prepared by the Lord.
Did he get vomited out yet?
No, not till the end of this chapter. So what is the then there for? Why does it say then?
I guess after the 3 days and three nights, he decided to... He prayed.
All right.
Out of the fish's belly.
After he got into the fish. Now, he did pray, of course, when he was in the ship in chapter 1, and all the other people prayed to their gods. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, and Jonah said, what did Jonah say as to why this tempest was on this lake? Because of him. He knew that he was the Lord that brought that thing because he was disobedient. He was honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he prayed... And they say, here's what you do. Cast me in and the storm will stop. Did the storm stop?
Yes.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once he's in the fish, pray unto the Lord, his God. Does prayer help?
Yes.
Does prayer hinder?
No.
Is prayer always answered?
It's always answered.
Either yes, no, or maybe, or next, later, wait a while. But there's an answer.
No,
we'll always know what the answer is.
Sometimes it's answered in such a wonderful way, you
can't
believe it.
Out of the fish's belly. Remember, it was a prepared fish, special fish, and people argue, well, how can any fish? Well, God prepared it specially. That's how it happened. That's how the whole thing happened, see? A special, miraculous, it was a miracle fish. And last week, Anna didn't read it in time, but it came from Rob. Remember, we had this big discussion. What's the difference between a fish and a whale? See, a fish and a whale, the New Testament, Old Testament. Let me read it. Rob Winnegard wrote this last week. I read it, I put it on the bulletin Sunday also. The great fish, this is from probably Henry Morris, who's a scientist, he's with the Lord, not but he wrote many books on science. The great fish may have been either a whale or a shark or even a fish specially prepared by the Lord for this purpose. The Hebrew and Greek words are used merely to mean a great aquatic animal. That's the Hebrew and Greek, a great aquatic animal. Some species of whales and some species of sharks are quite capable of swallowing a man whole. Among these are the sperm whale, the white shark, and the whale shark, all of which have been found with whole animals as large or larger than a man in their stomachs. So that's an interesting add-on because we argued, talked about that last week, and Rob did a good job on looking that up for us. So he prayed out of the fish's belly. Then in verse number 2, why did he cry? And pray.
Yes, it was affliction.
It's affliction. What is how do you define affliction?
Trouble.
Trouble. Right? Trouble of any sort.
Sorrow, pain.
It could be pain, upset. It could be health, it could be internal, it could be just in the mind and with feelings as well as physical. By his affliction he cried by a reason. In other words, it took him affliction for him to cry unto the Lord. Now, I hope that's not what that takes us before we cry unto the Lord and pray to the Lord. Affliction. We should pray day by day and thank him every time I walk out, especially now these recent days, I'm thanking the Lord very definitely for many, many things. But don't wait for affliction to pray to the Lord. Jonah, by reason of affliction, because of affliction, cried to the Lord. Now, is the Lord just any God with a small g?
No.
Is he only God? The only God, capital G. And yet these heathen people, they pray to their small gods in the fish, in the ship. And what happened when he prayed in verse 2?
Oh, that's right.
What happened when he prayed?
The Lord
heard him out of the belly of hell. Now that can be taken literally or figuratively. Sheol is a place of departed spirits. It does say in verse, if you notice in verse number, see a good verse here. See the verse? Yes, verse number 6. Brought me up my life from corruption. So it indicates death, and I believe that's the way to go. Hell, the departed spirits, the blessed spirits, and with Abraham in his bosom, and the damned in another section of Sheol or Hades, the departed spirits, but. Well, it could be the belly of hell, meaning it was such a terrible experience, but I think it's probably the real thing. He died, and he cried even in his death, and God heard his voice. That's a very wonderful thing when you know. Now, does God hear your voice when you pray, if you're saved?
Yes.
Does he hear the voice of unsaved when they pray? No, they're not supposed to hear, but you know, he knows he can make hear, but I mean, he doesn't really accept. What is the only thing that he wants to hear from the unsaved person? What is it?
Yeah, repentance.
Repentance and accepting Christ and come, God works away. That's important, isn't it? But those of us who are saved, he hears it. Hello? Patty, yes? What you got?
Yeah. Well, I had a comment here. When you mentioned that, you know, it took this affliction for Jonah to cry out to the Lord, if you look back at chapter 1, that was really a lot of affliction right there when they had all the tempest going on, but he didn't call out to the Lord at that point. It took even worse affliction later in chapter 2 before he cried out. That was just something that I thought of when you were talking
about. Yes. Okay, thank you. Patty Cat. Bye-bye. Yes, worse affliction. In the ship, the tempest, there was bad enough affliction. What was he doing when the storm was high? What verse is that? Chapter 1.
He was asleep.
He was asleep?
He was down
in the hold, in the lower parts. Fast asleep, verse number 5. It reminds us of the Lord. What was the Lord doing during the tempest and sleep in the half part of the ship? And what did the disciples say when they on the Sea of Galilee? Perish not out, then we perish, and so on. And so he arose and calmed the sea. So the midst of the seas, thou hast cast me into the deep in verse number 3. But God heard his prayer. The midst of the seas, the floods compassed me about. All of those. Now wait. Now I'm wondering, if he went to the waves first, and then this prepared fish gobbled him up. It sounds like he may be in the wave. In other words, or did he fall directly into the mouth of the fish?
Well, the seaweed was wrapped around his neck, I think it says, somewhere in his
head. Uh-huh.
It could have been in the fish, that's true.
All right.
Well, the seaweed says, we cast him forth into the sea.
Mm-hmm. So, it's entirely possible he went into the sea and this prepared fish took him and that's it. And
sounds logical.
Yes. But the floods of the deep compass me about. Compass meaning what?
Surrounded.
And thy billows, my waves. And then in verse number 4, what was his thought and his mind? In verse 4. What was his attitude?
Cast out of his sight, yet he'll look toward the holy temple.
Can anyone be cast out of God's sight?
No.
What attribute of God is that?
That's omnipresent.
Omnipresent, that's right, omnipresent. Questions at bfdbc.org. If you have an email, or simply call us, 856-261-9018. Yes, Tammy?
I guess that's how he
felt. Cast out of thy sight, see? In other words, God is not looking at me. God doesn't care what happens to me. I'm on my own. See?
It's interesting.
Yes.
He's in the belly of the fish. He's looking towards the holy temple. You know, they're like Daniel. Didn't he pray toward Jerusalem?
Yes.
I think he said, yeah. He knew that God was going to bring him out. He says,
yeah, when I look again. Yes, right.
I didn't see that. Okay.
Now, this was
short sighted. He's thinking of it, though.
Yeah.
This sort of factual religion. I mean, after he gets out of here, Lord, I'm going to look to your temple and just get me out of here. But, yeah, look again. I'm cast out of my sight. Is it comfortable to think that we're cast out of God's sight? Is it a comfortable feeling?
No.
No, it's not a comfortable feeling. But it may not be true, because God always, omniscience and omnipresence, can't leave. He always can find us, but it appears to us. And that's a very strong, severe feeling, isn't it? Yes, Joe?
I bet you a lot of people, you just gave me an interesting thought. I bet you a lot of people got saved in a foxhole.
Yes. I'm sure they did.
Or almost any kind of traumatic
decision. Any kind of traumatic decision, that's right. Yeah. Or at least they want to make a promise, telling what they got. Sometimes it wasn't real, but then they tried.
That could be one reason for war, too.
Right? That could be.
God's reason.
Could be, absolutely.
I think a lot of people were saved.
A lot of people were saved?
Yeah, I would think so.
So, I look again toward that holy temple. Let's read verse number 5, 6, and 7 together. The waters compass me about, even as a soul. The death closed around upon me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my soul from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee and to thy holy temple. All right, then, verse number 5. Waters compass about. So apparently, he was in the water and it was surrounding him. I'm sure he probably could swim, but still, there he was.
I think it was inside the ocean. Fish.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Waters all over.
Yes. In verse... even to the soul, the depth goes down to the weeds. It could be the weeds that were inside this great fish. It could be whatever weeds that were there. But it was a harrowing experience of Jonah. It wasn't a pleasant experience.
What does it say about the fish? Where's that?
And verse number 1, he prayed to the Lord out of the fish's belly. Now, sometimes, you know, that's the one phrase, and then it goes back and explains the things happening before. It could be a little bit out of chronology. Yes, ma'am?
He could have been, way down in the bottom and drowning and everything, and then the fish gobbled him up with the other fish down there, and saved his life, really.
Yes, if he was down drowning and down in the depths of the sea. Went down to the bottom of the mountains, verse 6. The earth with her bars. Do people place Sheol or Hades, or the place of departed spirits, scripturally? Where is that place?
Probably
in the heart of the earth. It's down at the core of the earth. And so this could be a reference to the... Now, he would be in the paradise section, like the Abraham's bosom, like Lazarus, and then the rich man. You remember in Luke chapter 16?
Wouldn't that be hell?
It would be hell or Sheol, or the damned part. See, in other words, the division there between... the place of departed spirits, that was called in Greek Hades, or in Hebrew Sheol, and the place of departed spirits, there were two sections. There was a paradise section where the righteous went, and then there was the damned and punished section where the unrighteous went. And so the rich man went to the unrighteous section, and Lazarus, the beggar, went to the righteous section. Mm-hmm. So if he went there, would go on to the righteous section. The Lord Jesus says that went to hell or Sheol or Hades and preached the spirits in prison and probably removed all those righteous dead in that section, took them to heaven after the resurrection. And so that's the picture there.
Same people,
Anna? Okay. She's our secretary for the night. So the mountains, the earth, the bars.
Hello?
Third one.
Now, in verse number... Yes. Yeah, yes.
Sure. That was the only place there was after people died that were... looking forward to the Savior was
Sheol.
Sheol
or Hades.
They all went there.
Yes, either so top or bottom. Yes, either the prayers I said until the Lord Jesus died or the Christmas bread raising
course.
Hey, Joe?
That's an interesting thing to think about, because I often wondered, like, about the people before Christ came. Mm-hmm. How they got saved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense now, though. When he's down there, the ones that want him, he's taken care of.
Yes. Well, the Old Testament saints look forward to the cross and to the Calvary, to the Lamb that was slain.
Right.
We look back to the Lamb.
So their belief then would save them automatically.
That's right, because of the trust in the coming Savior.
Right.
Yes,
did that cease after that?
Pardon? What?
Did that cease after that?
What's that?
Once Christ went down there, there was no need for that?
That's right, as far as the paradise section. That's right.
Well,
that's right. There's no need for the paradise section. The damned section, the ones in the curse section, were judgment.
Taken care of.
But the other ones were taken up. It says that the paradise, you remember what the Lord Jesus said to the thief? Today thou shalt be with me where?
Paradise.
Paradise. Which I believe he went to the paradise section of Sheol, emptied the thing out.
Right.
Then Paul in Acts chapter 11 or 12 says, I was caught up to the third heaven, up to paradise.
Yeah.
Now where is paradise?
It's up in heaven.
It's up in heaven, see. The third heaven. She's sort of removed from here up to there, see. I know Brother Drexler didn't believe in the two divisions.
I understand that better now.
So it's emptied, and now those that are saved, born again, when we die, spirits and souls immediately go to heaven because the Lord Jesus had died for our sins, buried, and rose again, triumphant over the grave. So then in verse number 6, what did God do to Jonah here in verse 6?
Brought his life
back. Life from corruption. What is corruption?
Death.
It's death, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
what's happening in Haiti. It's just terrible.
Dead bodies all over. And the thing about it is, some of the planes can't land because they're not runways and no lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they land, there's no gasoline to refuel to get back. And even the Dominican Republic, which is the same island, they've got stress on their landing place. It's sad because here people want to go over to help. 60, 70 people can't do it, see, because they need, of course it's too late now, almost 72 hours is about all you can last underneath that rubble before you die, see. And so it's unfortunate that they had these teams that were trained, dogs that were trained to go in there. Because those dogs can smell live bodies and then they're checked out and they can get them out. So it's a sad thing. But brought up my life from corruption. So that's one of the reasons why we believe that Jonah died. And he prayed. Apparently, we don't know what we do when we're in the paradise section. We get to pray and so on. But the corruption. I was talking to a lady years ago, and she thought I was crazy saying that he died. But this word corruption is right here. It seems to be pretty clear to me.
He didn't die spiritually.
No. But I mean physically. In other words, death was there. But yet, he could still commune to the Lord in this section of paradise section. And I think as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried. Remember in Matthew, we read, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Lord Jesus, Son of Man, should be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So 72 hours, days and nights, we have to take that literally. We can't, like the present people do, just take a part of a day and part of this, part of that. We believe that 72 hours altogether. And so God brought him up from corruption. So God delivered him, didn't he? Did we read 7?
No.
Let's read 7, 8, 9, and 10. What is it?
They that observe our days forsake their own mercy.
Are we?
8,
9,
and 10?
No, let's say 7, 8, 9, and 10. When my soul faileth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, and thy holy temple. They that observe my vanities forsake their own mercies, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that to thy horse salvation to the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and drowned it out Jonah on dry land. But in verse number 7, what did it take for him to remember the Lord?
Your soul to faint.
So faint. In other words, he was just without his own strength.
He's a wreck.
Finally, just a wreck and just with no strength, he remembered the Lord. Well, he should have remembered the Lord a long time ago. And then it says, my prayer came unto thee. So he knew that the prayer got through to the Lord. In verse number 8, what are lying vanities?
Vanities, emptiness.
Emptiness. Lying vanities would be all the gods of the people that observe false deities and satanic things. If they forsake their own mercy, In verse 9, what's he say he's going to do now?
Sacrifice
unto thee. In other words, with the voice of thanksgiving. There's a hymn book called The Voice of Thanksgiving.
Right. See, your vanities is empty in itself, but then you have lying vanities, lying about something that's fake anyway, so it's just kind of a double concept of your vanity. It's a vain or vanity, and then you have...
Yes.
The vanity is somewhat of a lie in and of itself, but then you have lying vanities, just complete deception, you know, a double deception. They that observe it, you're observing this deception, you're forsaking this mercy that's right there at your fingertips.
Right. And the Old Testament, I will sacrifice. What were the sacrifices of the Old Testament? Dan has been talking about that, and Dr. Williams has been talking about that in his Bible study, too, last Tuesday. Five sacrifices, main sacrifices in Leviticus chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There are others, but I mean the main ones. There's some sweet savor and some non-sweet savor. Some are voluntary and some are obligatory. What are the obligatory of those five?
Sin offering.
Sin offering and trespass. See, those are, in other words, your sin. You've got to do those. But the three that are sweet savor, voluntary, bird offering is one.
Meat
offering is another.
Yes, with the
peace offerings and others. So they sacrificed offerings to the Lord, and their offerings had to be good and clean and pure and whole. They couldn't be the scruffy ones, the best. And that's why the Passover lamb had to be looked over 3, 4, 5 days, make sure that it was good, see, spotless and not just junk type of thing. That's right. So sacrifice is the voice of thanksgiving. And then he says, I'll pay what I vow. So the vows are very important. Now, this last part of verse 9 is a very good theological phrase. What does it mean?
Salvation is of the Lord.
Salvation is of the Lord. What does that mean?
There is only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us.
The only Lord Jesus Christ can save us. We can, out of our own works, nothing. Salvation is of the Lord. Very important. One of the chaplains, Chaplain Maddox, he says, you can remember that, just to say Maddox. Chaplain Maddox in the Navy, at Naval Air Station, Corpus Christi, Texas, used to give this illustration. He said, we're saved by faith. It's like a railroad train that comes along. It's all of God. But then there's a little place, a little, what do you call this thing, that you step aboard.
Platform.
And that's the faith that we have, stepping aboard that train. He takes care of us, all the Lord, but we take the step of faith to trust that Savior, and that's what is salvation of the Lord. Very good little illustration, I'll never forget that. And what did the Lord do after he admitted salvation was of the Lord?
He
to the fish. To the fish. You think the fish heard him?
Oh, yeah.
It sure did. He created him, see?
Yes.
And should we, who have been created by the Lord, hear him also?
I wonder what he said.
Yes. I don't know what the fish said.
Hey, fish, spit out.
Yes, ma'am.
I was looking at that. I think that's really dear. He had a personal relationship with this fish, God did, because it's a special fish.
Special fish.
And then I got to thinking, about probably the fish didn't die afterwards. It probably floated all over the place.
Yeah, we don't know.
You know, so. And one of the rare, one of a kind.
Yes, yeah, one of a kind.
I wonder what the other fish thought of him.
Little fishy, I guess. But they bounded him up on the dry land. I don't know which dry land it was. He was out in the midst of the sea out here.
Well,
was
where he supposed to go?
Well, then it was way over here, see? Way over here.
Okay.
So we don't know where it was.
Right back where he started from. I mean, we don't know. We don't know where. But in order to get back, in order to get in Nineveh, you have to go all the way around the Horn of Africa, you know.
All the way down.
You know, and then come up again. And
yeah. So just wherever it was.
Is Nineveh in Iraq?
It's over here in, I guess it would be Iraq, close to Iraq.
Assyria,
which is now, I think, either Iran or Iraq. I guess it's Iraq, that's Iran, one of the two.
Mosul or something like that.
No, I'm confused.
So, the Lord spoke the fish and salvation of the Lord and deliverance, and certainly the Lord was, Jonah was delivered by the Lord, physically deliverance, but spiritual deliverance as well. We're going to stop right here and take it up, Lord willing, on the third chapter next Thursday, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Good to see Joel here. That's a miracle. I haven't seen him for many months. And Bonnie came back a second time. Good to see she's in the area. Appreciate her coming. Any other comments or questions before we close? Anna, you want to tell who that was on the phone?
No. I mean, it was for my father, so...
Oh, okay. All right.
this guy's in a call. I'm supposed to call the gentleman tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
After Greek class.
After Greek class, okay. All right, let's close then.
I do have...
Yvonne?
I wish you'd pray for my blessings that Dan's put up for me.
Yes.
It's
a blessing every day.
Some people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are dropping, but I'm hearing from people. Then he put me on Facebook to get more exposure for the blessings.
Mm-hmm. She writes one blessing a day for 365 days last year. Now she's putting up what she's written for last year. So, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee that we can study Thy Word. We thank Thee for Bonnie's blessings. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst use them in a mighty way. Thank Thee for Dan's ability to put them up. Thank Thee for this book of Jonah, and we thank Thee for Jonah's prayer to Thee. Help us not to wait until we're in difficulties to pray, and help us to always know that Thou art concerned about what we are, where we are, who we are, and what we're doing and saying and thinking, that we may love Thee and serve Thee. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus who died for our sins, and we pray that He may be first and foremost in our lives, each one. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you for coming.
The people that the people that the institution
saw made up. That's right.
Yeah, it is made up anyway. So these are in your theology. It doesn't work.
Well, we don't believe in that. So, Julia, sorry if we didn't answer more fully, but that's basically what we're saying. All right.